Okay, praise the Lord. Good morning. Let me introduce myself. My name is Graham, and I'm the pastor of Peace Haven Evangelical Free Church. Praise the Lord. It is such an incredible miracle and blessing and privilege for us to be in the fellowship. We want to thank you with all of our hearts for how you've received us, how you've welcomed us, and we just sense God's blessing and plan. I want to also say that Jeff Connington particularly has been such an incredible blessing to me, to my family. I'm so amazed at his kindness, his wisdom, his conviction. How he's so clearly had God's heart for this church for so many years. And I'm looking forward to serve alongside him, and God bless our ministry together. Also want to welcome Lee and Zuzana here. Beautiful, great to see you. Welcome. We visited them the other day. It's a very special family, so thank you for being with us. And any other visitors here, welcome this morning. So if you would, could we stand for a moment and we'll read together a few verses in Exodus 21, and then we'll pray and be seated. Exodus 21. And we'll the context here is, these are laws concerning slaves, Hebrew slaves in the Old Testament. And what would happen is they could serve for 6 years, and in the seventh year they could be set free. And we'll just pick up here verse 5. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Father, we pray, bless our time together in your word. Quicken our hearts, speak to us, minister to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's be seated together. The Apostle Paul in Romans, the incredible Magna Carta of the Christian faith, begins with the words, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. The word for servant there is doulos. It's used 150 times in our New Testament, the word servant. It's a very special word, and the concept of the doulos is found in the verses that we just read. That one who had been a slave, perhaps they had fallen into debt, and to make amends for that, they had to serve for 6 years. And in the seventh year, they could be set free. Imagine, you have served, you are free to go, there is the door. But if that servant would plainly say, I love my master, and I choose to stay, I choose to serve, my freedom is to serve my master. Then the master would take that servant to the door of the house, and on the frame of the door he would pierce through his ear, and he would wear an earring. And that earring was a very clear mark that he was a voluntary servant. He was not serving because of compulsion or obligation, or he was paying something back, or he was making amends for what he had done. But he was freely choosing to serve his master. And Paul, at the beginning of that incredible book, wants to make it clear. Paul, a doulos of Jesus Christ, serving in freedom, motivated by love. Motivated by love. And of course, in the New Testament, the very heart of the gospel, the ultimate example of the doulos is Jesus Christ himself. For he, of course, was motivated by love. And when he came in his public ministry and in his life, his ear was open to the Father. And that which he heard was that which he did. That which he heard is that which he said. He was the doulos, motivated by love only. And he was obedient. It's in that amazing passage, Philippians chapter 2, of the humility and the condescension of Christ. When he came to the earth, it says that he, though he was equal with God, he did not exploit that equality with God, but made himself in the form of a doulos, servant. Being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Think of it. Motivated by love, moved by love. It's the only motive. It's the purest motive in the heart of Christ. It was love, agape love, an unconditional love, a love where the good shepherd would lay down his life for the sheep. In Psalm 118:27, it speaks of the sacrifice, the unwilling sacrifice, being taken to the altar and bound to the horns of the altar before it was sacrificed. Often those animals would go kicking and somehow aware that they were going to their end. They wouldn't go to the altar willingly. But Christ was a willing sacrifice. He was the ultimate doulos servant who was to serve not his own will, but the will of the Father. And he was obedient to death. And then it says these words, even the death of the cross. He was the sacrifice bound to the horns of the altar because of love, a voluntary sacrifice. You could say that in eternity past, in the inception of the plan of redemption, his ear was pierced. There was an understanding that he would execute the plan of redemption, and he would come because of love to do that. You could say that before his hands and his feet in his physical body were ever pierced, his ear was pierced first. To be motivated by love. In Psalm 40, which is a messianic psalm, meaning it has an extension, an ultimate fulfillment in the person of Christ. And this is what it says, Psalm 40 in verse 6. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. Mine ears have you opened. And the word there for opened, it literally means to dig or to bore. Or to pierce. My ear you have opened. My ear you have pierced. Like the ear of a doulos servant. A slave who says, it is my choice. It is my voluntary choice to serve. No one is forcing me. I'm not doing it before man. I'm doing it because of the heart. Because of love. And he says, my ear you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. And then verse 7. And lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me to do your will. Now this psalm, 1,000 years BC, is quoted in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10. The writer of Hebrews opens these verses and applies them directly to Christ. But it changes something. The author changes one particular phrase. He says this. He says, wherefore, when he came into the world, verse 5, he said, sacrifice and offering you would not, but a body you have prepared for me. Instead of saying, my ear you have opened, he says, a body you have prepared for me. And then verse 7, I come in the volume of the book that is written to do your will, O God. We remember in Gethsemane when the Lord said, "Not my will, but your will be done." I think this is a little loud. Your will be done. So not only was his ear opened, but a body was prepared for him. And in his human body, he was motivated by love to the plan of the Father and executed the Father's will completely and perfectly all the way to the cross. And his ear was opened, and ultimately he was pierced through his hands and his feet in finishing the work for our salvation because of love. For God so loved the world, he gave his Son. And the Son so loved the Father, and of course us, that he gave himself to the altar, to the cross. He came not to be served, but to serve. It's an incredible statement. It's an incredible truth in Matthew 20, verse 28. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. He demonstrated that, remember, on that last fateful night, the night of the Last Supper, when he washed the disciples' feet. That was a graphic, a symbolic demonstration of his whole public ministry, the reason why he came. Not to be served, but to serve. And it was a shocking thing if you could imagine being one of the disciples and all of a sudden Jesus lays aside his garments, girds himself with a towel, takes a bowl, and proceeds to wash their feet one by one. And afterwards he said, "Do you know what I have done to you?" He says, "You will know afterwards. And if I would do this for you, how much more would you do this for one another? I have done this as an example, that you likewise would be a servant." But watch this. Not just a servant with the external imitation, but a servant that is equally motivated by love. That there is no other reasoning involved to perform, to pay back, or to be men pleasers, but purely being motivated by agape love in the heart. And that is only possible by the Holy Spirit in us. In fact, at the end of that very chapter, that same chapter, John 13, is the commandment to love. And he says, "The world will know you are my disciples because of this mark. Because you will be a doulos servant. That you will be motivated by love. It will be so evident in your life that people will notice it. And it will speak of something." You know what the earring speaks of? It speaks more of the master than it does the servant. I think if you would see someone who is serving so passionately and so joyfully and with all of their heart, and you would say to them, "Oh, you have to serve like that, you have to work like that," and they would say, oh no, this is my freedom, this is my choice. What would the next question be? "I want to know your master. I want to meet him. He must be amazing." And you would say, "Oh, he is. He served me. He first loved me." And there is so much talk in Christianity about serving and doing and giving. But we must always remember that he first loved us. It begins here. Not that we serve him. Not that we love him. Not that we give to him. But first that he loved us. That he gave to us. That he served us. That he came not to be served but to serve. Not that we would serve him in return, but purely because of love. And imagine afterwards, he washed your feet. And you were one of the disciples that day, and afterwards, you're just about to leave, and Jesus would say, oh, by the way, if anyone would like to, you could wash my feet. Oh, how quick it would be to recognize the privilege of that, a reciprocation of that same love to us. And this love is possible by the Holy Spirit in us. It's not a learned lifestyle. It's not just a theology alone. It's not a religion. But we have been given the Holy Spirit. If this is not true and experienced, then our Christianity falls to the ground. It becomes hollow and empty. Because it's not what we do, but it's why we do what we do. That's the issue. As 1 Corinthians 13 would ring so loudly in our ears, if we have not love, it profits nothing, we are nothing. It's not about washing feet, it's why. It's that there is agape love that is motivating us, and it is our freedom and our joy. And you cannot mimic that. You cannot manufacture that. You cannot imitate that, maybe for a little while, but not for years and years, as many of you have done in this church. It is by the Holy Spirit. It is by the love of God. And Galatians 5:13. There is the phrase there, serve one another by love. There it is. Serve love. Doulos, agape. You cannot be a doulos unless there is agape love that is poured in your heart by the Holy Spirit in Romans 5:5, that bears fruit in your life. For the fruit of the Holy Spirit is agape love in Galatians 5:22. So we made note that Paul begins his letter, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. And in fact, every writer of the New Testament does so. Paul, Peter, John, Jude, James, every one of them, Paul, a doulos, Peter, a doulos, James, a doulos, Jude, a doulos. Making it crystal clear that the very center of their life, of their motivation, of their ministry, of their service was the love of God. That they proudly displayed the earring in the ear and would say, oh, I am free. He came to set me free. But to know him is to love him, and to love him is to serve him. This is why in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, verse 1, be therefore followers of God as dear children. And notice this, and walk in love. That touches the very heart of the Christian life. Walk in love. Again, not something that we can, it's not something that we have to live up to, but it's something that we have to yield to by faith. And the love of God in our hearts gives us a particular walk. Walk in love. And then it's as if Paul wants to look for the greatest example of that. So what does he say? Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God. And notice this, for a sweet-smelling savor. Some of the offerings in the Old Testament were known to be sweet-smelling offerings. They were the voluntary offerings. They were the ones that you didn't have to give, but these were offerings you could give as an expression of thanksgiving to God, as an expression of praise to God. These were the sweet-smelling offerings. They were given from the heart, freely, with thankfulness. And it says those offerings are a sweet-smelling savor to God because they are given out of love. They are given out of freedom. That's what the ring in the ear would be. It's a mark of love. No obligation. Sometimes you get the sense in Christianity that there are many who are serving and they are tired and they are critical and they're complaining and they're comparing. Something's missing. Maybe the hole's still there, but the earring's not there. But the doulos would say, I've been served, I've been loved. 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. And we believe in evangelism in the sense that we could share the gospel with people with our words and many creative means, but also they will know you are my disciples by your love, that there is something distinctive through the words and the actions and the life of a spirit-filled grace believer. There is something that sets us apart in this world. And it is the Holy Spirit of God in us and the fruit that he bears through us, which is Christ in us, known to the world. And this is God's will for our life, unquestionably. It is God's will for our life and the experience of many of us. And so beautifully expressed in this church. We've been so blessed by that. But you cannot take the name of a doulos before you first take the name Beloved. It's a name that John used through his letters in the book of 1 John again and again. Beloved, beloved. Agape toi is the Greek word. It means that you are the object of agape love. And you say, oh, that's the ABC of Christianity. And that's true, but it's also the XYZ of Christianity. It's beginning to end. It is simple and yet so incredibly profound that we are loved by God. That we are the objects of his unconditional love. A love that cannot stop. It will never be quenched. It will never be changed. No matter what I may do, no matter how far I may wander, his love is sure. Paul said, I am persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. So beloved, beloved, that is your name. That's one of your names. Oh, take it. Refer to yourself that way when you wake up in the morning, look in the mirror. Oh, beloved. The beloved of God, the loved ones of God. What an incredible name. There could be no other that will be sweeter or greater than that name, that I am loved by God. And if I have the name Beloved, then I very easily have the name Doulos, for one bears fruit of the other. It is something that is daily. It's a daily orientation that we have and must continue to learn and apply. We wake up in the morning and we think about how he has loved us. How he has served us. How he died for us. And as we have those perhaps momentary meditations, not an hour of prayer, but moments of faith can find those truths burning in our hearts. And before you know it, you look in the mirror. Oh, there it is. There it is. Where you are quickened and you are filled with the Spirit and you sense the love of God in your heart and that you are free. You are not living before men. You are not in bondage to some program or some system or keeping commandments. It is so high, much higher than that, that you are free. And in your freedom, you choose to serve. And that is a sweet-smelling savor to everyone around you, and especially and most importantly to God. For Ephesians 6:6 says, "Do not serve as men pleasers, but be servants, doulos, of God, from the heart, obeying the will of God from the heart." I remember some years ago how that verse set me so free, that we primarily live before God. Our hearts, our service, all we do is primarily before Him. We remember the story of Mary and Martha in Luke 10. It says that Martha was cumbered about or distracted with so much serving. And she goes to Jesus and says, "Jesus, don't you care that I am serving alone and Mary does not help me?" No. It's the flesh. It smells very different, doesn't it? But remember when Jacob was serving for Rachel in Genesis 29, there's a beautiful verse, verse 20. It says that Jacob said to Laban, he said, "I will serve 7 years for Rachel. I will do that. I will do that gladly." And he begins to serve. And then the verse says this, "And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, but it seemed but a few days because of the love he had for her." He served for years, but they seemed just a few days because of love. You can contrast that with the elder brother in Luke 15. When the father came and the wayward son was loved and restored, the elder son said this, "These many years I have served you. Many, 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 many years I have served you." And you could imagine him perhaps in his room every day chalking off another day. "Whew, there's another day I have served my father." And he spent 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. And this is what he had to say. "These many years I have served you." Everyone hear that? "These many years I have served you. And what did you give me? What did you do for me?" It must have been quite an awakening for him when the father says, "What? All I have is yours. You mean to tell me you've been slaving and working all these years with that motivation, thinking that you are earning something from me? Oh, my dear son, you have missed the point. You are my son. All I have is yours. This is all yours. Serve me in love." And then, because a doulos is not counting the years like that. It's not counting the price or the sacrifice that was made, but it is embracing and enjoying the privilege of it every day. That the one who served me, I get to serve him. The one who has loved me, I simply love him. People see that. People sense that. People smell that. Oh, it's a beautiful fragrance. The liberty of grace in someone's life. Living primarily before God. It's a very powerful thing. Remember in Song of Solomon 5:9, the daughters of Jerusalem say to the bride, "What is your beloved that you would charge us so?" When she was looking for him, and she, "Where is my beloved?" And they said, "Wow, what is your beloved above any other that you have this passion in your request? What is it?" And she said, "Oh, let me tell you about him. She begins to speak of his eyes and his face and his hands, and in the end she says, oh, he is altogether lovely. That is what is seen. That is what is heard in the life of a doulos, a beloved doulos, who serves in freedom. And let's close this morning with reflecting back to Psalm 40, which says, verse 6, sacrifice and offering you have not desired. My ear you have opened. We can say that this morning, that our ear is open. You remember that? That happened in your life? When you became a believer at a certain time in your life, you realize you are a listener. You are hearing. Like Samuel, 1 Samuel 3:10, speak, Lord, because your servant listens. You remember that when your ear was opened? When the Holy Spirit came into your life and all of a sudden in the messages it is capturing your heart and you are listening and receiving something very powerful and personal and potent is happening in your life and in your heart. It's because He opened your ear. And then we realize, oh, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but my ear you have opened. That's what you're interested in, Lord. That we would hear you. We would listen to you, that we would respond to you in love. Verse 7, and then I said, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is written in my heart. Think of those words. I delight to do your will. Who can say that? The doulos can say that. Not every believer can say that. But the grace believer can say that. The doulos can say that. Someone who is free and spirit-filled can say that. I delight to do your will, O God, and your law is written in my heart. And it is my freedom, my joy to serve because of love. Amen? Let's pray together. So, Father, we want to thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord. We thank you and we praise you this morning. With a full heart, we offer a sacrifice of praise and an offering of thanksgiving on our lips this morning for all that you've done, all that you've given, how you have served us and saved us, loved us every day. We love you because you first loved us. We thank you for the freedom you've given us, that we are not in bondage to the law, but you came to set us free. We thank you for the privilege of knowing you, of serving you, serving in the body. We pray that you would bear fruit in our lives, individually and more as a church in this community. We pray that people would see the earring. They would sense the life, the joy, the love. That people would be drawn. They would say, oh, what is your beloved above any other? What is your master like? What is Jesus like? Oh, and we could tell them, oh, there is none like him. There is none like him. He is altogether lovely. He is the chief among 10,000. Or he is the Savior and there is no other. There is none like him. Or that we would be able to share with people what an amazing, what a great salvation. Oh, so great a salvation. A glorious gospel. An amazing Savior. We pray that you would quicken our hearts again and again, every day, this week and weeks to come. That we would all be just so loved and revived as your beloved, as your servants, as your people in this community. We pray for this church, these streets, this town, these people, the thousands of people in Peacehaven and towns around, God. We pray that this church will be a light on a hill. We pray that each of us could be your ambassadors, that you would use us, you would open doors, you would give us opportunities and conversations with people, and they would sense, oh, there's something more than just the church, more than religion, but there is something living, and they would find you, Lord Jesus. We pray for that with all our hearts. We pray that we will be amazed in months and years to come as you draw people, as you save people, as you build your church, as you love people and heal people and set people free by your grace. We trust you and we ask you. We pray for the children in the church this morning in Sunday school. We pray for the teenagers. We pray you give us wisdom and life and words and connections with them. Give us creativity as we go forward to love them, to reach them. Oh God, please speak to them and love them. We pray for the families in the church, the mothers and the fathers, the marriages. We pray for the husbands and the wives. And we just ask for your blessing on every relationship in our church. Give us unity, one with another, that there will be no division among us, but just a real sense of your, the body of Christ. We pray for the elderly, the needy, the poor. We pray for that little baby crying. We pray for each precious person that comes through the doors of this church. We pray you'd use us to bring a blessing, to bring life, to bring Christ to each person, to each family. We want to trust you. We pray that prayer together on this special day, God, believing that you will go far beyond what we could even ask or imagine or think, God, that you would do great things by your grace for your glory. And if there's anyone here this morning, perhaps you're not sure of your salvation. Perhaps you've heard the gospel and heard the Bible many times. Perhaps you're listening to this message online. And we ask you to put your faith in Christ this morning. Oh, don't put it off. Don't wait. Pray this prayer in your heart. Jesus, I put my faith in you afresh this morning and ask for the gift of salvation once and for all. You are the Savior and I am a sinner, and you paid for my sins. You died to be my Savior. And I receive you today and thank you for saving me today, July 16th, 2017, by grace through faith. And bless each one of us now as we sing and worship and fellowship together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, let's have the worship team coming up.